Right. I would like to welcome Brother Matt Davis up here. And it's a pleasure to have you, brother.
Thank you. Thank you. Good evening, community of God. This is exciting, and I can't hide how excited I am to be here. I want to give thanks to the Twin City Ministerial Association and for welcoming me and having me here tonight. I understand it's something you're putting a trust in me to be here and deliver a message, and that you have a trust in me to do that. You're just not walking out on the street and pulling anybody off the curb and saying, here, come in here. There's a trust in me, and I appreciate that trust. A special thanks to Reverend Carolyn Barrett, the pastor at Denison First Presbyterian Church. That's my home church, and she convinced me. There's been a couple years where I've done Lenten services, but not every year, but she convinced me that, yeah, I'm going to put your name forth. Officially, I'm a lay pastor through the Muskingum Valley Presbytery, so I've been filling in on Sundays when, for instance, Pastor Corey is gone. I'll be at Newport or in Midvale. I've been to some of the other local churches. I've expanded to some churches, you know, that are a little beyond the Twin City community, but this is kind of where I've been centered as far as like my Sunday opportunities. Just today, I was thinking about, wow, how amazing it is that God gives me such a fulfilling life, that during the day, I get to be at Newcomerstown West Elementary teaching fourth grade reading. I love it to death. And then in the evening, I can come on up here. I can come in here and deliver a message that I hope inspires people to live godly lives and to serve Him well. So, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Much like modern day, even in the time of Jesus Christ, much value, importance, and reverence was given to the wealthy and so-called influential people in society. Jesus' point in preaching the Beatitudes was to set the record straight that His kingdom values things much differently than the kingdom of the earth. It's like Jesus is saying, you think those rich people are the most blessed. You think those powerful people are blessed the most. Not true. Let me tell you what it really means to be blessed. And so Jesus starts naming the blessed. The poor in spirit, those who mourn, the meek, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Then in verse 7, Jesus proclaims, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Mercy is the theme of the evening. And I spent a lot of time thinking about the meaning of that word, mercy. One of the first thoughts I had about mercy was that it starts somewhere around and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And some of your churches will say, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. In other words, perhaps mercy is an exchange in which we let go of our anger, our desire to get even, and we forgive as God forgives. In some ways, I thought mercy to be closely linked to forgiveness, but something that's equal among humans. However, God's ultimate act of mercy is not like that. When God sent His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to the cross, that was not the exchange I was thinking of. In that circumstance, we're talking about a perfect God, perfect Son, and a human race which one sin deserves hell. But what He did was He said, I love these humans I've created so much that even though they have betrayed me, I'm going to find a way to bring them back to me. Jesus, of course, carries out the act painfully, being nailed on a cross. In that act, an undeserving, sinless man died for our sins. He bridged the gap between us and Father God. That is mercy. But unlike the two-way street of forgiveness, where forgiveness can be repaid among us humans, there's no repaying God. Sending Jesus to the cross to die for our sins, he took the wrath that we deserve. The Apostle Paul helps to illustrate what I mean in Titus. In Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, the Apostle Paul says, "At one time we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy." So when we step back and look upon what God did, we see mercy. And we see that that mercy that God offered us through sacrificing his son on the cross is purely a gift. A gift that we must accept in graciousness. Because as I said earlier, it's not something we can just repay. And this is a disconnect that we see among Christians in the Christian faith. Unfortunately, there are people wandering around and they're feeling like, will they get to heaven or not? And it's based on some sort of systems of good and bad, some scales that are saying good or bad. I remember my days before Jesus Christ. And at that time, I thought I knew Jesus. I thought I had a relationship with Jesus. But my prayers went like this: "Dear God, I pray I'm good enough to go to heaven." I remember that feeling of, I don't know, am I good enough? Have I done more good than I've done bad? I just don't know. But on that day when Jesus Christ opened my eyes, St. Patrick's Day 2005, the Spirit reached out to me and expressed to me, Jesus did the work. You just have to accept that that is what he did. Salvation by good works or salvation based on if you're good or bad, that's not God. That's not the God of mercy. The God of mercy, he gave us a way. He didn't say go through life wondering if you can be with him or not. He brought us to him, sacrificing his one and only son, giving an undeserved, flawed human race the gift of salvation. Again, that is mercy. I've spent much time explaining mercy, trying to define mercy as one of God's strongest attributes. I have framed this explanation of mercy through his gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. But I've struggled in trying to exactly define the meaning of those 10 words. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. My main struggle when I was studying that passage was, it sounds like it might mean that when you are merciful as a person, that God will give you mercy. But in my mind, that sounded too much like salvation through works, which I know is not of God. So I pondered what those words meant. As I was studying, I came upon a commentary on a website, Bible Reference. The believer who commented on Bible Ref says, his, being Jesus's meaning, is not that a person must be merciful in order to be saved, but that those who submit to God in salvation will naturally respond with an attitude of mercy toward others. That made sense to me, because when I came to Jesus Christ, that's what I saw in my own life. Coming to Christ makes you tender-hearted, because that Spirit hits you and changes how you look at the world. I used to get mad at my brother, my twin brother. I used to get mad at him. I wanted him to be more like me. And I would yell at him. I'd make fun of him. You're not like me. When that Holy Spirit hit me, the same Spirit that hit him before me, I understood mercy. I was no longer, at that point, I no longer was that self-centered person who thought I knew God, but was really actually serving myself, and God was the, and Jesus was the side order of fries instead of the main focus of the meal. When you think about mercy and you think about how the Lord guides us to be merciful through the Holy Spirit, isn't it evident that mercy is something our world desperately needs? A lack of mercy is what has led to the divisions in our country today. Why does this so-called cancel culture exist? It's a lack of mercy. Cancel culture says your sins are far worse than my sins, and you have made mistakes, and even if they were 20 years ago, you shouldn't be allowed to work again. I've seen in sports, a pitcher goes out and he throws a no-hitter, and somebody's looking at his Twitter page to see if he said something in 2013 that might get him canceled. Where's the mercy in all of that? How about politics? Here we are in an election year, and so many are wrapped up in D versus R, R versus D, and what becomes us versus them. It's not about just simply differing opinions. Some believe their way is the only way, that to disagree makes someone not just wrong, but evil. It's a lack of mercy. Guided mercy from the Lord would help us remember our own humanity. And we could see people, we could see common Americans instead of simply D or R or us and them. And with mercy being such a need in our world, that leads us to a conclusion. Do you want to, I'm just going to ask you this. Do you want to, as Matthew 5, 13 through 16 says, be the salt of the earth, be the light of the world, and let the light shine before men? If you want to lead others to Jesus Christ, one difference they should see in you is mercy. The world is very unforgiving at times, especially when people can just sit behind a computer screen and just type anything they want with no mercy or regard. Resolve to be forgiving. Resolve to be like Jesus, who is merciful to the criminal beside him on the cross, to the people who actually put him on the cross, who is merciful to the woman who was about to be stoned as she was caught in an act of adultery. Mercy is uncommon. Following Christ asks us to be uncommon. Shine God's light for all to see. Be merciful. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for putting in each one of us this desire to be in your house here this evening. We are here to celebrate with those who celebrate, to enjoy the blessings that you've bestowed upon us. Lord, we're also the hands of healing, Lord, that we can be comfort for those who mourn, for those of uncertainty. Lord, of all the prayers we send out, I especially think of those who are dealing with mental health issues, especially the young people that were spoken about earlier, how I see young people every day who are dealing with mental health issues, Lord. Please help them, help their families, help them seek the help they need and seek the comfort and to know that they are worthy in God's eyes. Again, thank you for bringing us here this evening. May we take this word with us as we depart, Lord. May we serve you wonderfully, and may we stand out in this world that's against you. Let us stand out like a sore thumb, and let that be something people see and say, wow, I want to be more like that. I want to be more like Jesus. These things we pray in the name of your precious Son, Jesus, once more. Amen.